BetRivers Sportsbook is offering new customers a deposit match up to $250 when you sign up today. In addition to their welcome bonus, BetRivers has daily and ongoing promotions that can provide extra value. Download the BetRivers app or go to BetRivers.com today to sign up. Presented by Rivers Casino Pittsburgh. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Mad Monday brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the app today or go to BetRivers.com. Tim Benz and Mark Madden. You can read Mark at Trib Live 4 times a week, and you can listen to him Monday through Friday on 105.9 The X. Mark will be making his triumphant return to Sharkies in Westmoreland County along Route 30 in Latrobe, just up the road from St. Vincent College on Tuesday. That's where his show will be after what will be, no doubt, Mark, another round of quarterback analysis from seven shots and all the other drills the Steelers are doing. Apparently, Kenny Pickett's career as Steeler quarterback is already over. I hope he enjoyed it while it lasted.
Well, the seven shots drill, that gets so much play in the media, maybe because it's the only thing that's tangible in the early days of camp. You know, the offense either scores or it doesn't. There's a winner, there's a loser. But boy, the micro analysis of how the quarterbacks have performed in seven shots and in the drills, too, it's been amazing. But I think the Steelers have handled the quarterback position exactly as I would have. I've written that in the Trib. I've said it on my show. Pickett's not going to play much this year, if at all. The only thing that gets him behind center is injury, or if the team does so bad so soon that there's nothing to be gained by playing the veteran quarterbacks. I think Pickett's going to be inactive in the early part of the season. Mason Rudolph's had a very good camp. He's arguably been the best performing of the three quarterbacks. So I think the Steelers put together a game plan on what to do when Ben retired. They gave themselves a lot of options. I think out of the three, I don't know if one's going to succeed good enough to make the playoffs. And I think it is going to be Trubisky to start the season. I think that was preordained from the minute they signed him. But I think they've done a great job at the quarterback position. I really do. And I think they'll continue to.
I think the analysis of Pickett only running with the third team has overrun the lack of attention given to, I think, Mark, the reality that the curve for Trubisky to catch up with the Steelers is steeper than what we were assuming, because there has been a significant degree of struggle for him, perhaps more than what people were expecting because of all the hype surrounding how quickly he could fit in with the Steelers' offense.
Yeah, that's for sure true. But I think he'll catch up relatively quickly because he is a veteran. I think he's just got to pick up the offense. But if this was a legitimate quarterback competition, Tim, Mason Rudolph would win it. He's winning it now, that's for sure.
Based on what I've seen, he's definitely been the best of the three quarterbacks. Where I will give credit to Trubisky is literally, Mark, from practice one on, I felt like he has been the most willing to push the ball down the field and work on the design of the play as opposed to checking down for the sake of completing a pass so guys like us can write Mitch Trubisky was 4 or 5 in team drills today.
Yeah, and I wonder with how it is micro-reported if a Mason Rudolph, say, isn't trying to put up good stats in practice, which is weird, but we hear the practice stats every day, don't we?
We do. I will also say, though, as practice has gone along, he's caught up on that train and started to push the ball down the field a little bit more as well. And I think that's had something to do with maybe the other receivers that he's working with, you know, a new guy in Olszewski, a new guy in the rookie Austin, a new guy in a couple other rookies, figuring things out as well. And I think he feels more comfortable pushing it down the field to them now.
What a problem with what's happened in camp so far, period. I mean, the weak spots are still the weak spots, but maybe there's more strong points than I initially figured. I think the team is going to be perhaps a bit better than I would have said before camp started, and shame on me for overreacting to, you know, practicing without pads. I guess they put on the pads today, Monday, as people are listening to this. But I just don't see much to criticize yet, not with any player, not with how they've done it. I mean, what do you think?
I, Mark, stand by what I said about the Pickett situation in week 1 or 2 of OTAs, which is, if they are going to wed themselves to Trubisky 1, Rudolph 2, Pickett 3, to me that doesn't render the Pickett pick as a bad selection. It's not even a bad choice to go with a quarterback. It just renders moot the reason why they did it. Because they kept telling us they were doing it because he was 24, mature, all those ACC starts under his belt. Boy, he can come in and play, and he's ready for the NFL far more than anybody else on the board of the position. Well, if you're going to have him be third string anyway, and that was the plan the whole time, that part doesn't really matter, does it? They just better be right about his ceiling.
Now, hold it. When they said he was more NFL ready than anybody else, that's a comparative statement. It doesn't mean he's NFL ready. And Trey Lance went third last year. He started two games in San Francisco. Patrick Mahomes went 10th in 2017. He started the last game of the season. That was it. So I don't think that the way they're handling Pickett is exactly unprecedented.
Well, yeah, and I wrote the Mahomes comp, and I wrote about Brady, too. He only got three passes in his rookie season as well.
Well, yeah, but he was a sixth-round pick.
Understood. But my point being, you can't make a definitive ruling on a quarterback as good selection, bad selection, if he doesn't play his rookie season. I'm just saying where they have to be right about this is what his ceiling can be. You know, if we were led to believe, and I think a lot of people walked away with this assumption that he might not be a high-ceiling guy, but he's going to be able to help out the team quickly as the starting quarterback in the wake of Ben, that last half of why they got him doesn't matter now. They've just got to be 100% right about how good he can be then.
Yeah, I don't see an urgency to play him. Although, to be fair, if I were the Steelers and I didn't plan to play him, I wouldn't have drafted him. I would have got somebody to help right now at another position at a spot of need, of which there are many. But yeah, he's 24, not 34. The clock's ticking, but not that hard.
What do you think Deontay Johnson is thinking right now, Mark, after the contract signed by DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel?
Well, even more than them, Tim, here's a great stat. I just read on Twitter that in the ongoing offseason, 11 receivers have signed contracts with average annual values of $20 million or more. But remember when you were a kid, Tim, and your mom said, well, if all your friends jumped off the bridge, does that mean you'd do it? I don't think the Steelers are going to jump off the bridge.
No, because they have a new bridge ready to walk over, and his name is George Pickens.
Yeah, who looks great by all accounts. But seriously, Tim, I think of those, and I don't have the list of receivers in front of me. I understand paying Deebo. I understand paying DK. But of those 11 receivers, I would bet I would look at half of them and say, okay, why'd you give that guy that money when it's such an easy position to replace somebody at?
An analogy that I'll draw, Mark, that this reminds me of is when Jordan Stahl was looking for his big money deal from the Penguins, and they had two star centers in front of them, and they had a track record of getting good young forwards, and the cap was going to become difficult for them at just about the same time getting Malkin and Sid done. Sometimes a contract just has to expire, and you can go make big money for somebody else. It just might not be with your team.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that maybe the Steelers will wind up being the smart team when it comes to these receivers, right? Maybe they'll be the ones making the right decision if they pass on extending Deontay as much as they may be in the minority.
Understood. And I think that you're going to see a reversal to this when it comes to NFL teams and receivers because, you know, there's 9-10 receivers that go in the top 35 to 40 picks every year. You can find them. You can trade for them. You can get them in free agency. You don't have to give them $20 million.
Yeah. So what if the Steelers don't extend them, and in light of the fact that Pickens already early days in camp, indeed with him being a rookie, but he's coming on strong. I'm fine with how they're handling it currently. That's for sure. Although, any word on if Deontay's going to practice, if he's going to put on pads, what's the deal? I mean, at some point they got to tell him, look, either put on pads or go home.
And that might come to a head after this week. Maybe they'll give him one more week. I wonder if how Pickens is playing, Mark, is the catalyst to make that happen.
Well, as I've been saying, Tim, he's got to understand that he's not T.J. Watt or Minka. But more importantly, he has to understand, and they should tell him, look, we're not going to sign you to an extension, period. So you can play and get paid and put up stats and earn your contract somewhere else, or you can just go home. But this can't go on in a situation where they're not going to extend him. If it's extend or don't play, then he's not going to play.
Especially,
I think.
Yeah, especially.
That's what I would do.
No, I hear you. And especially because this is a new offense with new quarterbacks, aside from Rudolph, a lot's going to change. And it's not just like a carryover of last year where you can do exactly the same thing and catch 107 balls again. Things are different now.
Yeah, and T.J. Watt always knew he was going to sign, and they knew it too. Micah Fitzpatrick always knew he was going to sign, and they knew it too.
Mark Madden from 105.9 The X and Trib Live here on the podcast brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the app today or go to betrivers.com. I am kind of curious, Mark, how often they sprinkle in four wide receiver packages or, frankly, just different looks than running 11 personnel all the time, one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. Because along with Pickens, I'd argue that three of the other more impressive guys so far in camp, Miller, Olszewski, and Austin, the other rookie wide receiver, they're all kind of true slot guys. The Steelers don't have one of those. They're making Claypool into that guy in their offense when they come out with three wide receivers. I wonder if they're going to be tempted to use more different looks besides just 11 personnel almost all the time.
As I said frequently, I would go with double tight with the personnel they have. I think they're equipped to do that with Gentry and Freiermuth.
I just don't think that Gentry equates into the potential of one of those three guys going off the field, meaning Claypool, Johnson, or Pickens.
Well, it depends if Johnson's available, obviously. But yeah. But I don't know. I still I think the Steelers are just more formidable and double tight. And if they're going to run the ball, like they say they're going to run the ball, and that offensive line isn't very good, although Freiermuth's not much of a blocker, is he?
He isn't. He's coming along in that regard. Gentry's gotten to be quite good, and he's leaned out, put on some muscle mass. He looks like a monster out there. So, yeah, they have talked about using two tight ends more. I don't know how often they'll ever throw out of it. They have to throw out of it occasionally just so that when Gentry comes in, the entire defense isn't saying, oh, okay, let's put our run-stop package out there because 85% of the time this is going to be a run.
Tim, as I said earlier, I am more optimistic about the Steelers right this second than I thought I was going to be. But I still have a lot of doubts about that offensive line. I mean, a lot of doubts.
And that's the one area we won't be able to truly analyze their play until they start playing games and maybe even
beyond. Oh, I don't know, Tim. I can analyze anything based on seven shots.
Well, if that's how we're analyzing it, then it's no wonder Pickett's struggling, because if you're a third-team Steelers offensive lineman, that's saying something.
Isn't it hilarious, though, how there are those who would say that Pickett's getting cheated and this is a travesty? It's just how life is for rookie quarterbacks. If this could happen to Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith, it could happen to Kenny Pickett sitting behind Mitch Trubisky.
Well, and a lot of that is coming from, you know, the station across the street, which is Pitt's flagship, or more to the point now, Kenny Pickett's flagship.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I got to tell you, Tim, I don't think anybody's had the proper perspective on the Steelers quarterback situation from day one like I have. Not to pat myself on the back, but if I don't, who will?
Mark, at the time that we are taping, the NFLPA not too long ago put out a statement about the Deshaun Watson arbitration decision, saying that they are not going to challenge the decision from Judge Robinson, and they are hoping that the NFL won't as well. What do you read into that?
That it's not a very long suspension. They already know it.
Yeah, exactly. I think.
How long do you think it's going to be? When's it going to be released? Do we know?
The reports are, multiple reports from multiple outlets are saying that it's going to be on Monday at some point.
I'd like it to be Tuesday, so I have that material for Tuesday.
At Sharky's and Latrobe, of course.
I already have enough to talk about on Monday. Yeah, I bet it's going to be four games.
I was just about to say between four and eight.
Yeah, the fact that they said that leads me to believe it's not eight even. Because I think there's a part of them would have been pissed about eight even.
Four to six like Ben then.
Yeah, I think as once the NFL said that there was no evidence of force or coercion, and kind of the outrage and the cry for his head started to wane a little bit, I think eight became the new full season. The full season suspension would have been way too long for the NFLPA, And for Watson's people, now I think 8 is because of the expectations.
Pro Football Talk is predicting $10 million fine, 4-game suspension. I think here in Pittsburgh, Mark, so long as it gets beyond week 3 when the Steelers play the Browns in that short week in Cleveland, people aren't going to carp. You know, if it comes right down to 4-6 for Ben, though, and that's such an obvious analogy to draw, that might get some complaining.
Yeah, but don't forget the Steelers wanted Ben suspended and the Browns don't want Watson suspended.
Oh, I don't forget that. But, you know, people have conveniently forgotten that as time has gone on.
Maybe they should say, listen, in light of the Ben suspension, Watson could play against Pittsburgh both games.
How do you think that would go over?
I know, I'd like it. I mean, not I want to see, you know, Ben embarrassed. But, you know, it's funny. If Watson gets a lenient suspension, the guy who should comment on it is Ben, but he won't. He shouldn't. I'd like to see comment, rather.
You know, I think Ben might be done commenting for a while because he saw how that back and forth went with Cam Hayward and the response to the response to the response. And I think every outlet had their say, Mark, with one of those guys. Did you get either Ben or Cam on your show to rebut somebody else's rebuttal?
No, oddly enough. I think I'm off the Ben friend list. I might even be off the Cam friend list. That's okay. It doesn't bother me at all. I supported Ben when it counted, but I bet he's forgotten that.
How much of what he said do you support?
Oh, I thought everything Ben said initially before he backpedaled was 100% gospel. That it is a me first team and not a team, but he backpedaled shamefully. And, you know, and Cam saying that Deontay Johnson isn't causing, you know, a disruption. Of course it's causing a disruption. They're breaking in new quarterbacks and the number one wide receiver's not there. That, by definition, is a disruption.
Mark, I've got to give credit to the Pirates for figuring out how to stage a 7-game losing streak. Right before Steelers training camp started, it began so no one would notice, and right up to the trade deadline so they can get rid of players and no one will care.
O'Neill Cruz is a moron. I mean, how do you get picked off second base in the 10th inning?
As the ghost runner.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, he's becoming more Polanco-esque every day. Polanco was a great talent and just didn't know how to play baseball. And I'm beginning to think the same is true with Cruz.
The Cruz thing, it makes me laugh all the time now when no one compares his strikeouts to walks with I think they're 46-6 now, or that he's hitting 206. Like, those stats aren't supposed to matter, but people will quote chapter and verse any Statcast stat he has, like how fast he runs from first to third, how fast the ball comes off the bat or out of his hand from shortstop.
He's a miles per hour guy. That's what we base judging him on, his miles per hour.
So
he's a car.
So I will quote then Kyle Schwarber's Statcast from today, 441 feet, a home run in the opposite direction, the greatest Statcast opposite field home run for a Philly ever, and 10th greatest of all time against the Pirates. So I guess Statcast matters in both directions.
Yeah, I you know, seven loss. Now they're in last place. Yes. Seven losses in a row. They're in last place in the worst division in baseball.
Exactly. And
I don't think they're going to trade Reynolds, though, do you?
I don't think they're going to trade Reynolds. I don't think they're going to get very much for Quintana, though.
I don't think they're going to trade Bednar either. But, yeah, Quintana, that creep can roll, which I always say in reference to Big Lebowski on every mention.
Yes, and it's deserved because it's a much better movie than he is a pitcher.
Yeah, he's pitched pretty good. I got to give him credit.
He's been good. I just was kind of hoping to get that ERA down towards 2.9 or something like that and make some eyes pop and get some more. Well, who am I kidding? More talent that'll be turned around for more talent in the future.
Yeah, whatever you said, Tim. I'm getting bored talking about the Pirates.
What'd you think of Greta Van Fleet?
You and I were both at Greta Van Fleet and Rival Sons. And what was the opening band's name?
The Velveteers.
Yeah, I didn't see him. I sat in the foyer at and by the way, I really liked the Giant Center in Hershey.
Was that your first time there? It was for me.
Yeah. I'm thinking about going back there for an AHL game. That is a classic minor league hockey rink. It really is. With all the Hershey Bears memorabilia, the Hall of Fame, the Calder Cup championship pictures on the wall. I really enjoyed that part of it, too. Greta Van Fleet is excellent every time you see him. Their musicianship is terrific. It's kids doing it with an audience of at least half kids. They know all the words. The girls scream. You know, when you go see, you know, and this is no knock. Like when I go see like the groups I like, the heritage groups, the singer looks like he needs oxygen. Josh Kiska looks like he's going to have sex with the whole first row after the show. It's just an amazing, not only amazing musicianship, Tim, and great song, but they have great stage presence, all of them. They have charisma just oozing. And the only thing, a small complaint, I think they're going too far with the jam band instrumental stuff. They played for the best part of 2 hours and only played 12 songs. And they left out a few songs I'd like to hear, but I'm also aware that when you go see a band, you're not putting a quarter in and picking the songs on the jukebox. They can play what they like. So that is a very minor complaint. I really think they're the best rock band in America and have been for quite some time.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I said the same thing to friends that I was with and spoke with after the show about the audience that was there. I was down on the floor, and I'm pleased to report I was the oldest guy there. You know, like, I'm very happy to say that, because to your point, the older bands that I like to go see, heritage bands, you know, alternative rock bands that are not alternative anymore, they're old too, Pearl Jam, Tool, like bands that I like, it's an old white guy crowd. And this was a Taylor Swift crowd for a rock band. And I say that if it can be deemed as such, as a positive compliment. Like, rock needs that. Rock needs high-pitched screaming girls watching a rock show who are 19 years old. Like, that helps.
Oh, no question. I will say, too, that, yeah, it's supposed to be kids. It's supposed to be something that involves kids doing it, loving it, the whole nine yards. I will say, though, your group, Rival Sons, that was the second band on, I was impressed by them. I wish their set could have been a little bit longer, too.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? Greta Van Fleet always gets accused, and I fear that they'll never be quite as critically accepted as they should, because they've been painted with the Zeppelin brush, not least by Robert Plant, who said, "I've heard that voice and I know where the singer barred it." Well, you know, F off, Robert. I know what you barred from, too. And I know who you and Jimmy cheated out of money. And I love Led Zeppelin, but for him to say anybody barred anything is just absurd. And Jimmy Page loves Greta Van Fleet, so there's that, too. But it was funny that Greta Van Fleet's the Zeppelin band, but your guys' Rival Sons, I don't know what the song's called. It was the second to last song.
Oh, that's Secret. I think the song
was
Secret.
How many more times? I kept waiting for, come on, say it. How many more times? It's a direct lift, but it's still a great song.
Those guys, Rival Sons, I like Dirty Honey. They do a lot more covers than I've ever heard Greta Van Fleet do. And I think Greta Van Fleet avoids it because they don't want to perpetuate the conversation.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about doing covers. I'm talking about, you know, lifting riffs. And there's a difference, obviously.
Yeah, there is a difference. I'm just saying that those bands aren't afraid to do a cover or two. I wonder if Greta Van Fleet is, because they don't want to be labeled as such even further than what they are.
Well, Tim, you know, if you go online, on YouTube specifically, you can find videos of them doing Zeppelin covers when they were very young.
Oh, yeah. I saw the one that was like literally like an outdoor concert in their treehouse or something like
exactly.
That. Yeah, I've seen that one.
You know, I find myself wondering what they're like now that they've achieved all this and they're still really young.
You mean personality-wise, you mean?
Yeah, how they're handling it. Because when's the last time, you know, kids achieved this in rock? Because they're still, I think the oldest one's 25. That's still very young, right?
Yeah, is that one of the Kiskas or is that the drummer who's their friend?
I'm not sure. The youngest one is the bass player, Sam Kiska, who's like, I bet he's still like 22.
Yeah, Sam, I interviewed. I know you interviewed the guitarist. I know Jake is excellent. He's as good as you're going to find playing music live as there. He's fantastic.
Yeah, but here's another thing, Tim, you gotta like. I mean, I know they don't want to be compared to Zeppelin, but Jake's wearing a jacket with poppies and dragons on it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Where have I seen that before? You know, and I think there's a similarity in the presentation with Josh and Robert Plant, too. And one, I'm embarrassed to say. You know, it's just, but I mean, I don't blame them for that, but I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe they get it, and they're kind of playing at it a little bit. I don't know.
Mark, how do you think it's going to go before Metallica? Will they, like, change their set list? Will they play just the hits, all the rock stuff, the heavier stuff to cater to that audience when they come to PNC Park?
I don't know, Tim. I just know I'm leaving before Metallica.
Mark Madden.
And I don't mean that with some Metallica, but like, you know, it's like whenever I talk about Metallica, I just think they're like, and then the singer screams, and the singer screams. And then when Megadeth got together, wow, you could actually, there was actually a little air in the music, and there was actually some irony and humor in the lyrics. You know, I think Megadeth is what people imagine Metallica is.
And Megadeth doesn't have as many songs that go on for 8 or 9 minutes, do they?
No, they do Metallica as a pop group. Plus, I've interviewed Mustaine, and he's not half as self-important, not a quarter self-important. Nobody could be as self-important as Lars Ulrich. So I'm looking forward to seeing Greta Van Fleet in Pittsburgh. I think that'll be just terrific. And honestly, Tim, I've become a real I am becoming the master of going to concerts and leaving after the opening act. I left after Brian Wilson was done and blew off Chicago. On Saturday, I'll be leaving after Foreigner's done and blowing off Kid Rock. God, I'll be running screaming in the other direction from Kid Rock. And then I'll be in all likelihood leaving after Greta Van Fleet and not watching Metallica. Although I'm not ruling out seeing part of Metallica. What I'm hoping is that they play, you know, some of the songs that I like early and I can leave. Which brings to mind 1980. I was 19 years old. A friend and I went to see with David Coverdale of Whitesnake, later dubbed the Heavy Metal Sandwich Tour. It was Iron Maiden with the original singer Paul Di'Anno, pre-Bruce Dickinson, Whitesnake in the middle, Judas Priest, who just were starting to hit big with British Steel, and as the headliner. So Whitesnake were brilliant, and I say to my friend, I go, boy, I'm not really into Judas Priest. Not like I became, because they, you know, they put out a bunch of great songs and albums. And I go, well, I really like Living After Midnight and Heading On Out to the Highway. I go, once they play those two, you know, maybe think about leaving. Tim, first two songs, gone.
Heading Out to the Highway, and So You Did.
That's right. So that's what I mean, I don't see that as insulting. I see it as being a discerning consumer.
Speaking of discerning consumers, we've got Greta Van Fleet and Metallica at PNC Park right after the big concert with Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett. And those are the only two reasons I could think about going to PNC Park for the rest of the summer, Mark.
I'm scared of that one.
You are, about how bad Motley Crue might be?
How bad Vince might be, specifically.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff online, and it's not flattering.
And you know what? Whenever you see a Heritage Group following Greta Van Fleet in close proximity, the Heritage Groups do not do well by the comparison. I saw Greta Van Fleet a couple summers ago. I saw them in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and then went to Atlantic City to see them, to see Kiss one night and Journey one night. And I was like, why are these guys in slow motion?
And you're not going to get that Taylor Swift crowd at those shows. I can assure you that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not insulting those groups, but it is a really stark dichotomy. It really is.
Mark Madden, you can check him out Monday through Friday, 105.9 The X, 3 until 6. See him at Sharky's.
And Tim, let's not forget, I'm at Sharky's on Tuesday.
Yes.
3 to 6 to do my show. What is your preferred menu item at Sharky's?
The traditional go-to for Pursuta and I is the sausage and banana pepper pizza. Although I do love the crab cake sandwich. I love the crab cake sandwich a lot.
Oh, I'm going to get that. Is it good?
Yeah. If it's still on the menu, I loved it.
You know what else I hear is really good is their Philly cheesesteak.
The cheesesteak is up there, and you can they can arrange it for you however you like.
I'll tell you what else I'm definitely getting too, because I got it. I went out there, I believe it was Get the Let Out played the Palace on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go to the Palace, that's the concert hall in Greensburg. If I go Saturday, because I don't have to come right from work, I'll go to Sharky's beforehand.
It's always a good pre-concert venue. And now I understand that big pier they have, the deck, you can kind of go back and forth from both. So if you want to take a beer out to the deck, you can do it. You want to bring a beer in, you can do it.
I'm not a deck guy, not even at home. But what I was getting to is, the last time I was there, I had their pan nachos.
Oh, very good. Yes.
Which were very good. Yes. I will probably get the pan nachos upon arrival and then the crab cake sandwich.
Mark Madden, 3-6 at Sharkies on 105.9 The X on Tuesday and all week long, and read them 4 times a week at Trib Live. This is the Madden Monday podcast brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the app today or go online to BetRivers.com. Watch us, Madden Bands Unfiltered, 9:30 a.m. on Monday morning, the Facebook live stream for Trib Live.